This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome to episode 32 of our show, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. This show was started as a vehicle for me to sing and play various songs that I've written over the years. And of course, the 88 Friends is a reference to the number of keys on a piano. So we're going to do a lot of music today. Some days we have interviews, but today we're going to do a lot of music and we're going to look at the Word as far as what it says about spiritual warfare, one of the most overlooked weapons in the arsenal, and yet one of the most powerful, and that is the simple act of kindness. Kindness is a great weapon. We're going to look at that a little bit later on. I want to start out the show today with a slow jazz type song. I like all styles, but I really do like that slow, bluesy, piano, jazz. I think I told you before that when I lived in Massachusetts, my keyboard room was in the basement of our house, and the basement was right under the kitchen. And I remember telling my wife that I was going to go worship with some music for a while she was cooking supper. I probably should have offered to cook supper, but anyway, I told her that's what I was going to do, to call me when supper was ready. So I went down there, and invariably, I always end up with this kind of bluesy thing. I came up to supper. She said, I know that you said that you were going down there to worship, but it sure sounds like lounge music to me. And I thought, ooh, maybe I better put some words to it and sanctify it a little bit. So this is my song of worship to the Lord, in a blues style called I'll Get Through.
Take away the rainbow, leave me with the rain. Take away the springtime, let the winter remain. Take away slowly vanish from view, just as long as I have you, I'll get through. I can live without the fortune, I can do without the fame. I don't need this world's approval, let them scandalize my name. Just let me see your glory one moment in your presence will do, just as long as I have you, I'll get through.
just let me see your glory one moment in your presence will do just as long as I have you I'll get through. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, I can't live without you. I can't last a single day without you. Just as long as I have you, I'll get through.
You know, songwriting is a very interesting pastime. Everybody has different ways of writing. I've got my friend here, Buddy Miles. He's our engineer and co-producer, and he is a phenomenon when it comes to editing and splicing. I call him the surgeon because many of our interviews are very long and we have to splice things together, and he does a great job. But he also writes songs, like a lot of people do, and everybody's got their own kind of way it happens. So, Buddy, let me ask you, let me just say about myself, I'm a music man. I write tunes first, and then the words sort of fit around the tune. I think, well, what does this tune sound like? But there's all sorts of ways. How do you write a song normally?
I normally make a little poem or something and have a little rhyme, and then I struggle trying to find ways to make the music fit or come up with something simple that just kind of fits around the words that I have rhymed together.
So we write in opposite methods. Music first, words second. Your words first, music second. There's all sorts of tricks that writers have. Some people carry a little pad with them around, and if they wake up in the night, they write words down. Others have a little tape recorder. But then there was the Willie Nelson philosophy, which I have always subscribed to. He says, if a song is so unremarkable that you can't even remember it the next day, it probably wasn't worth writing in the first place. But anyway, I've been writing for over 50 years, and I remember there was a point in my life when it looked like we were going to get this great deal in Nashville with a Christian company. They even gave me a shiny silk jacket with the name of the company and everything. Well, that sank just like the Titanic, but I did get a jacket in the deal. But I remember taking a whole batch of songs there and speaking to this lady, and it was a Christian company, but they started dissecting the songs, Buddy. Well, you should change the words here. You should change the word there. And I think subconsciously that they were nice, but I think subconsciously that experience later on inspired this song. I've been recording some songs with my band. We've had this band for about a year now, wonderful guys. And we put this song down recently, and I want to just play it for you. It's about being bold in the Lord. It's called I Don't Want to Keep You Hid.
I wrote a song not long ago, a song about the Lord. I took it down to Nashville for someone to record.
That's a song I wrote back in the 80s called I Don't Want to Keep You Hid. Now, somewhere out there in radio land, there's an English teacher or English major who was saying to themselves, that's not correct English. It should be, I don't want to keep you hidden. I've had that criticism leveled at me for many years. And what I want to say to you is I looked it up in the dictionary, and the dictionary says it is archaic. But it is technically correct. And it also rhymes with did. Didn't. It would say after all the things you didn't do, but that wouldn't be my heart. It's did, hid. So anyway, that was recorded with my current band. I think we probably ought to just name ourselves my current band. We don't have a name. But these are wonderful musicians who live here in Florence, South Carolina. Keith Hamrick on drums. Russell James on bass. Brian Hoogenboom on rhythm guitar and some lead. He was playing lead on that. And then Jason Dowdy, my friend Buddy's brother-in-law, on lead guitar. Yours truly on keyboards. I want to play another one by the current band. This is a song I've recorded three different times, and it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So, buddy, let's play our newest version of this song.
Human hands, when everything else crumbles, it's gonna stand, stand, stand. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It has a strong foundation, Jesus Christ the Son, and the walls are called salvation for each and every one. Faith is the doorway, praise forms the roof, and the rooms are filled with love, holiness, and truth. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord
I want to dig way back in the archives now and go to the keyboard and play you a song I wrote in February 1976. The reason I know it was February is that my band, The Fishermen, were doing a live record on Valentine's Day, 1976, at Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. And I think what was going through my mind around that time was I was learning new things in the Word and spending time in the Word. By the way, buddy, I knew a pastor who put a sign over his bed, and he called his bed the Word. And whenever he didn't want to talk to anybody and wanted to take a nap, he would get in the bed and hang that sign and tell his wife to tell people he's spending time in the Word. He can't come right now. But I was literally spending time in the Word, in the Bible, and learning things. And, you know, there's something about tradition that sometimes you have to unlearn things. And I was just seeing a lot of new truths in the Bible, really hungering to know more of God. You know, there's a lot more to God than is on the surface sometimes. I wanted a deeper walk. So anyway, those sort of thoughts were going through my mind. And a few days before the concert, this little song came to me. And the chorus said, I want to receive everything you have for me. I want to believe everything that you say. I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. Sometimes we think we know everything, but it's like, I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. Then that final line, God, give me the courage to see things your way. Have you ever had to ask that? Maybe you needed to make an apology or get something right. And you had to say, God, give me the courage to do what I know is the right thing. So anyway, this little song came, and we recorded it a few nights later. So this song is called I Wanna Receive. I want to receive everything that you have for me. I want to believe everything that you say. I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. God, give me the courage to see things your way. I want to receive everything that you have for me. I want to believe everything that you say. I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. Lord, give me the courage to see things your way. So many years have I turned a deaf ear, refusing to hear what you wanted to tell me. So many days have I failed to obey, too busy to listen, I chose my own way. I want to receive everything that you have for me. I want to believe everything that you say. I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. God, give me the courage to see things your way. I'm getting closer and closer each day. Wanna simply let go and go all the way. There's a new hunger like never before. I feel more and more you have good things in store. Oh, I wanna receive everything that you have for me. I wanna believe everything that you say. I want to know more of the truth as you know it to be. Lord, give me the courage. God, give me the courage. God, give me the courage to see things your way. Let's do one more song with the band before we look at a few things in the Bible. Hymns. There used to be a great schism in the body of Christ, maybe there still is, between hymns and contemporary. I like the verse where Jesus said, a scribe who comes into the kingdom is like a man who owns old treasures and new treasures. So I like both. I like the old, I like the new. And I'm not ready to throw the hymn book totally out. I like some of the old hymns. So tell me some of your favorite hymns, Mr. Miles.
Top three that come to mind are Come Thou Fount, Love Lifted Me, and Victory in Jesus.
You went to some of them old-time hand-clapping church services, right? My all-time favorite hymn is, which I'm not going to sing right now, is written by William Cowper, or Coper, C-O-W-P-E-R. He was a man who dealt with a lot of depression. He actually tried to kill himself more than once. And yet John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, took him under his wing and helped him. He was actually a famous secular poet. But my favorite song that he wrote is, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." I just love that song. But this is one of my favorite. My top three would probably be that one, "There is a fountain," and, why did you have to say top three? You can't go wrong with Amazing Grace. But I like this song, and just about everybody has recorded it. Rock and roll people have recorded it. Country people have recorded it. And so I recorded it a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, with my band. So just turn the tape on and let's play it.
Singing, and the melody Jesus gives to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me. Jesus talks with me, and he tells me joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. As we tarry there, none other has ever known.
You hear a lot of times about the term spiritual warfare. And this verse talks about weapons that we fight with. We're in a war. And the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle with unseen powers, principalities. So we talk a lot about warfare. Many times people think of crazy things when they think of spiritual warfare. They think of people yelling as loud as they can, with nothing wrong with that. But people do all sorts of things, and I'm not criticizing them, but, you know, they go on marches, they circle buildings different number of times. I knew a man who actually got in an airplane, rented an airplane, because he wanted to get up there. He, you know, the Bible says Satan is the prince of the air, so let's go up in the air and speak to the principalities. But I want to talk about one of our most overlooked and underestimated weapons. It's a powerful weapon that can do sometimes what nothing else can do, and that's simply kindness. Kindness can melt a heart and cause someone to take an interest in God. A simple act of kindness. Galatians 5:22, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is kindness. When Paul wrote about agape love in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, the second attribute of love that he mentions is kind. Love is kind. And I knew of a person one time who met a Christian. This person was amazed because the person didn't know their friend was a Christian for a while till they saw a Bible lying in his apartment. And the person said something that I thought was a terrible indictment. The person said, "You are the first kind Christian I've ever met." And I think many times we're known for our anger more than our kindness. And things have gotten very angry in the last 10 years. Facebook has unleashed a lot of anger. we have become a rude society. And people can't even have a conversation and disagree amicably. It becomes a shouting match. And we are called to be different as Christians. I have friends who live in New Orleans, and they, in years past, had a ministry to the street people. And one Easter, my friend decided, let's have a brunch at our house. Because they ministered in unconventional ways. They didn't have a church sanctuary or anything like that. They had Bible studies in their home. And they said, why don't let's have a brunch and we can all eat together, invite whoever wants to come out of the streets, and then we'll share the Easter story. And my friend told me as he was sharing the story of the resurrection, somebody off the street took the bull by the horns and just totally interrupted him. And he said, excuse me, I'm just asking everybody in this room, does anybody believe a word of what this guy is trying to tell us right now? And one young lady spoke up, and she said, I don't believe a word of it. But she said, let me tell you why I come here. I come here regularly because this is the only place I know where the people love me. These people love me. And even though I don't believe the message, I know that they love me and they're kind to me. I told my friend when he told me that story, I said, well, that you've won half the battle right there. Because kindness will win battles that nothing else will work on. There's a verse in Romans that says the kindness of God leads one to repentance. Kind acts. I remember when I was in high school, one of my teachers came to me. Now, we had some really strict teachers. An episode we had a while back, I told you about one teacher who had no problems with belting you in the head with a gold ring if she thought you were out of line. But I remember I was in the eighth grade, and I was in the library, and I had the librarian came over, and she was also a teacher. She taught French. And she loved horses. She was in a lot of horse shows on the side. And she came over to my table, and she said, I'm so sorry, because she heard my horse had died. And a tear formed in her eye. And I remember being startled, because here this teacher that is, you know, usually supposed to be very, very with it and very in control, she had a tear in her eye, and I thought, wow, there's a kindness there that I didn't know was there. I never forgot that for the rest of my life. Every time I saw her, I'd tell her about it and hug her. But kindness is a great weapon. Let me point out just a couple of other verses that talk about kindness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 says, a servant, God's servant, must be kind to everyone. In Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, clothe yourselves with kindness. Put on kindness. That's what we should be known for. Unfortunately, we're not. We're known many times for our judgmentalness, for our anger. But I think the episode we had last week when we talked about my friend, Pastor Summers, who died at 97, everybody that talked about him as they wrote their thoughts onto Facebook and to the funeral home, they all talked about his kindness, that he was a man who made you feel loved. Even if you didn't agree with him, even if you were poles apart from him, you always went away feeling, well, here's a guy who loved me. There's an amazing little story in the book of 2 Kings regarding the prophet Elisha. Israel was being attacked by an army, and they kept attacking them. This was Aram was the name of the country or the leader. And if you remember the story, Elisha's servant looked out the window and he saw a great army surrounding the city of Samaria. And he was very afraid. And Elisha says, don't worry about it. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the servant's eyes were open, and suddenly he could see the Lord's army. They were invisible to the naked eye, but there was a great army surrounding them on their side. And so Elisha prayed that God would strike the soldiers blind. And they all went blind, and Elisha said, lead them into the city. So they led all these enemy troops into the city, and the king said, what should I do? Shall we kill them now? And Elisha said, no, don't do that. Do not kill them. This is verse 22. He said, would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? This is what he said to do. Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master. Now listen to what the last verse says. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Kindness. Kindness. Let's don't fight them. Let's be kind. And that kindness disarmed things and stopped the hostilities right there. Kindness is a great, great tool, a great weapon. And I think that we ought to consider that more often when we have challenges before us. Kindness is also a great tool in winning other people to Christ. They may be turned off by your religion, but they're not turned off by your kindness to them. I remember reading the biography of one of my heroes in the faith, the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was the Billy Graham of the second half of the 19th century. He spoke to thousands and thousands of people. Very, very famous man. But his son wrote a book about his dad, and he said, the thing I remember about my dad was I can't count the number of times that I would be lying in my bed upstairs and I would hear these heavy boots coming up the stairs. And I knew it was my dad, and I knew what was about to happen because he had done it so many times. He said my dad would come up and he would sit by the bed. And when he would say, son, I want to apologize. I spoke harshly to you today. And it was wrong. Will you forgive me? And his son said, I'll never forget that, because that was one of the things about Dad that drew me to him and kept me with God. He had a friend whose father was an evangelist and said his father would never do anything like that. The friend really rebelled and walked away from it. So kindness is a great weapon for winning people to the Lord. It's a great weapon with disarming the enemy. And Glenn Campbell said in a little song, try a little kindness. And sometimes kindness just involves keeping your mouth shut and listening to people. Do you know that most of us don't know how to listen? We don't know how to have conversations because our conversations many times end up being when the other person's talking, you're formulating what your response is going to be rather than just listening. James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So if you don't remember anything else with this episode today, remember two words. Be kind. Let's add three more. Lower your rhetoric. Five words. Speak the truth with love. Now you can take that home and chew on it, as they say in the South. Think about it. Be nice to somebody. Let's play a few more songs with my current band. That's what I'm calling them right now, my current band. That might end up being their name. But anyway, here's a couple of songs that the band has done as we've met across town and practiced. This song is called A Simple Faith.
Simple faith in Jesus was a passing phase. I would soon outgrow and you said to me time would make a difference. There'd come a day when you'd say, I told you so. That was then, this is now. A lot has changed, but still somehow. Some things remain unscathed, and I still prefer a simple faith.
slowly but steadily I'm climbing each day. I found out that it's so much more, that opening just one single door. One door just leads to another, and the journey begins from glory to glory. We're moving, my friend. With Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't know every twist and turn, but I know the way. And I still have a lot to learn, but I'm on the way. And the way is Jesus, Jesus. I know it's Jesus, that I've told you I'm through, and I trust that you're all moving up too. Moving up too.
I want to thank you once again for listening to us, and I hope you'll tell your friends about the show. I especially want to thank my buddy, Miles, who sits here by me and keeps me in line, which is not the easiest task in the world. But he is a master editor, master at making the surgical cuts we have to make every week. Next week is going to be an important show, because after 32 episodes, I think it's time for me to share with you the story behind my most well-known song that I've written, The Anchor Holds. I'm going to have my wife with me. Many people have asked me about the story behind and what I was going through when the song was written, but very few have asked her story. So she's going to be with us next week. So thank you very much. We will see you next week. We're going to close out with a song called If I Didn't Know Jesus.
didn't know Jesus, there'd be hell. In my sight, some are quiet, some are loud, some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88, me and my 88.